if the connection is going well, you are going to get physical with that person and go into the bedroom and do whatever you're going to do with them. But really, it's not in most cases that we are desiring sex or that we need the physical intimacy. Really, what we're desiring is to deepen the connection that we have. So when we like somebody, what we want to do is we want to connect with them. And we think that the way to deepen that connection is to take it to the next level, which is to get physically intimate. The problem is that creating a physical connection before an emotional connection has been established actually disconnects the experience. So tonight, I'm hoping that by the end of this talk, I will have gotten you guys to think about this a little bit differently. The sort of modern traditional wisdom of, you know, sleep with somebody by the third date or by the end of the first couple of weeks or whatever, you know, I want to plug some holes in that idea. So I'm going to talk about the three reasons why you should wait. And then I am also going to address the three objections to waiting. And you guys might already have in your mind some of those objections. Well, why should I wait? Because of this and because of that. Hey, welcome, man.
Hey,
come on in.
You're welcome.
What's up, man?
But again, hopefully after I've presented the three benefits of waiting and I've talked about the three objections, this will get you to think about things a little bit differently. Couple other caveats. So, first of all, everything I'm going to tell you is based on my clinical experience. I see a lot of couples, and I also help a lot of singles. I've been doing this for 4 years, and in the last 4 years, I have worked with 93 people who were single when they came to me and are now either engaged or married or in a happy and healthy relationship. And with every single one of those 93 people, I encouraged them to wait. So the social proof is there. It really, really works if you're dating for marriage. And that brings me to the other caveat, which is if you are not dating for marriage, if you are just dating somebody casually or you're trying to have fun or whatever, in that case, I can't tell you what to do with your sex life. It's a personal choice that you have to make. I wouldn't recommend casual dating if your intention is to be serious. And I was once telling this to a client. I was once saying, look, you know, if you want to be serious, I wouldn't recommend casual dating, but I can't tell you what to do. And the client said to me, well, you know, can't you play baseball most of the time and then play golf on the side some of the time? You know, and I said, you can, but there's gonna come a time if you're really serious about baseball that every hour you spend playing golf is an hour that you are not playing baseball, right? So if you want to be serious, you know, it involves a renunciation. It involves kind of putting the games and the casual stuff to the side and setting your focus on meeting the right person, usually. Okay? So everybody with me so far? Any questions so far? Okay, cool. So the benefit number one, the first benefit of waiting is that it promotes sticking around. So the number one killer of a promising relationship is rushing into physical intimacy. It's not trust issues. It's not communication issues. It is not money issues. Those issues come down the line. Once the emotional connection and the relationship has been established, rushing into physical intimacy squashes the opportunity to even make it to trust issues and communication issues because the emotional connection has not been established. And when the emotional connection has not been established, there's not very much reason for somebody to stick around. Now, I want to say that I've done this myself. You know, I've had friends with benefits. I have gotten physical with somebody quickly before committing to them. So I'm not talking to you guys like, you know, oh, I'm this wise sage or whatever. I'm speaking strictly from what I see in my practice with singles and couples, and also what I've learned in my personal experience. And what I've seen over and over and over again is that two people who come together and are great on paper and things are working out, when they rush into sex, it kills the relationship prematurely. Not always, but very often. So by choosing to wait and establish the emotional connection, most people come for physical attraction, but they stay for the emotional connection that has been established. So if you're not establishing that emotional connection, then once people have gotten their fix with the physical attraction, they don't necessarily have a reason to stick around because they don't know what else is there, right? They haven't discovered the substance, right? It's kind of like, you know, if you're eating a cake, you don't just eat the frosting and then you've had so much sugar from the frosting that you don't feel good anymore, right? You eat the cake and there's a substance in the cake and then the frosting is sort of the cherry on top, so to speak. But if you go in and you just eat all the frosting, then you don't need to eat the rest of the cake because you've gotten your fix for sugar. So the first thing is waiting promotes sticking around and it gives the relationship a fighting chance to develop. Does that make sense? The second reason that waiting is so beneficial is that it keeps us focused. Physical intimacy is the ultimate distractor. And don't get me wrong, it's a very important part of every relationship. Whenever I'm dealing with a couple that is having problems in my practice, I always ask them about their physical intimacy. Attraction is very important. I'm not trying to downplay the role of sex in a relationship at all. But if we are dating for marriage and we start to get physical before we really know the other person, it distracts us on several levels. The first level is that we are getting to know the other person's body rather than getting to know their mind and their heart and their soul. And that's a very sad thing because we are relegating the most important part of them to the back seat and we are only engaging with the outer shell that they have to offer. So we are distracted from the goal. The goal is to get into a long-lasting, fulfilling relationship, Bezrat Hashem, make beautiful Jewish children, et cetera, et cetera.
Amen.
But if we get into that too quickly, we haven't given ourselves the opportunity to get to know their character, their values, and so forth and so on. Hold on. Will you keep your questions to the end?
100%.
Okay. Thank you so much. Write it down if you think you'll forget. Thank you. Thank you so much. Awesome. So the first distraction is that it switches our focus from getting to know their character and their values to getting to know their body. The second distraction is that it creates premature attachment. We all know that when we get physical with somebody, we release the bonding chemicals, oxytocin. Getting physical with somebody can make you think that you love them, you know, the whole lust versus love kind of thing. And for a lot of people, that creates anxiety. So now, instead of feeling good and safe and calm and happy in the relationship, you feel anxious. A lot of people sleep with a partner prematurely because they feel like that's what the other one wants. I often hear women saying, you know, I didn't really want to sleep with the guy, but I was worried he wouldn't stick around. So now that fear is her focus. But if we remove that element, then we can keep people with their eyes on the prize, which is, again, let me get to know this person and see if we connect. So the list goes on of the ways in which physical intimacy can distract us from the reason that we came to meet this person and distract us from figuring out whether they are really the right person for us or if we just think that because we have a good physical connection. We have, you know, the spark. People always ask me, don't you need the spark? Don't you need that, like, strong chemical, you know, attachment? And the truth is that in order to have a long-lasting, fulfilling, happy relationship, you do not need that spark. You need attraction, and you need connection, but the spark, the butterflies in the stomach, the feeling that you can't keep your hands off the other person, all of that is nice. It's like a bonus, but it's not necessary. And often, it's distracting. It's dangerous. I always tell my clients, the hotter something starts, the colder it ends. If it starts with a bang, it ends with a fizzle. If it starts with a bang, it ends with a fizzle. So whenever people are telling me, oh, you know, we got hot and heavy, it's so quickly, I can't keep my hands on them, I'm thinking about her all day long, I'm so consumed by this relationship, I always know that it's a red flag. And I always know, again, that person, they're getting to know the other person's body, they're not really getting to know their character. If you ever hear a friend say, I can't stop thinking about them, ask them this question. Do you ever feel that way about your best friend? That you can't stop thinking about them, that you're consumed by them? Do you ever feel that way about your brother or sister, that you can't stop thinking about them? And they'll say, no, of course not. Why? Because I know that person so well. When you know someone so well, you're not consumed by them. So you get consumed by someone because of the physical connection. You become obsessed with each other. Or sometimes you get the physical and then you lose interest, which we'll talk about in a moment. But that's a sign that you don't actually know the person. Because when you actually know a person, you're not consumed by them. You're not thinking about them all day long, right? So that to me says that you've been distracted by the physical connection. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm not seeing a lot of head nods. All right, good. Thank you. And I want to come to, so the first benefit to recap is that waiting promotes sticking around. The second benefit is that waiting keeps us focused and keeps our eyes on the prize. And the third benefit is that waiting actually makes the other person respect you more. Now, whenever I say this, I get in big trouble. I said this in a clip on Instagram. I said this on a podcast. I got raked over the coals. Because people love to say that how soon you choose to sleep with someone, whether you're a guy or a girl, has nothing to do with your level of self-respect. That's a very common, popular idea in the modern dating lexicon. They say, you know, the idea that sex is sacred is so outdated, and just because I sleep with somebody on the first date, why does that mean I don't respect myself, and so forth and so on, right? And again, to each their own, this is not a judgment of anybody. God forbid, I don't judge anybody who has premarital sex or gets into a sexual relationship before committing. It's not a judgment. It's simply a question of what bodes well for a relationship. It's simply a question of what gives you the best chance of being in a long-term relationship where you're actually compatible with a person based on your values rather than based on these other factors. And the truth of the matter is that every human being knows deep down that sex is sacred. Every human being knows deep down that being physically intimate with somebody is the closest you can ever be physically, spiritually, and emotionally to another human being. Therefore, the truth is that casual sex is a contradiction in terms. There's nothing casual about it, and there never has been. That doesn't mean that you're a bad person, in my view, if you have it, but you have to know the consequences, and you have to know what's going to happen in your relationship life. For example, partners who have a lot of sex with many partners before a relationship have higher rates of divorce. And as I said, what I see over and over again is people who get physical before there's a commitment tend to break up sooner. So you can speed down the freeway, but when the cop pulls you over and gives you a ticket, you can't say, I didn't know the speed limit, right? You just have to know what you're getting into, and you have to know that you're not giving yourself the best possible chance of the relationship working out. So back to the respect thing. You guys tell me, what do we value more? A toy from the 99-cent store or a big fat ring from Tiffany's, right? We inherently, one of the laws of human nature is that we inherently value things that are harder to obtain, that you have to earn, and that have greater value imbued in them, right? So we all respect a big fat diamond ring from Tiffany more than we respect a ring pop that you can get at the gas station, because the ring pop is accessible to anyone and everyone. The Tiffany ring is something that takes a lot of hard work to be able to obtain and actually put on your finger or your necklace or whatever. So I guarantee you that the next time you're dating somebody seriously, and it's a new relationship, whether you're a guy or a girl, take my word and try it. If you say to them, hey, I actually don't want to get physical until there is a commitment, they will say, wow, no one has ever said that to me, especially if it's coming from the guy. And they will respect you so much more. From a guy's perspective, if he hears that from the girl, one of two things happens. Either he goes, wow, this is wife material. Like, this girl is serious. She respects herself. She respects her body. She doesn't give a sacred part of her away easily or for free. I like this. Or the guy is going to go, no, that's not for me. I need sex. I can't wait to get physical. And that's fine. But you just executed the number one weeding out tool, right? If he says that to you, now you know that he's not in it to establish a long-term relationship with you. Now you know that he is prioritizing his physical need over establishing the connection with you. And again, that's okay, but it's just a matter of what you're after. Now, if this comes from the guy to the girl, usually what happens, and correct me, ladies, if I'm wrong, usually what happens is a girl will be surprised by that because they're so used to guys having these physical demands and just wanting to rush into sex and just trying to get into your pants and, you know, all these things. So if a girl hears from a guy, hey, let's not get physical, let's really get to know each other and see how these things go, that immediately makes the woman's defenses come down and makes her feel safe and like, okay, this guy is not just after what I have to offer physically. So, you know, to me, this is not a gendered thing. I apply the advice that you should wait equally to both men and women. I don't abide by the rule that, you know, girls get attached more easily, but guys can have, you know, physical relations with whoever they want. You know, I don't really think that it's very conducive to establishing a relationship for both men and women. So, again, the third reason is that it will make the other person respect you and appreciate you that much more. And I'm sure you guys have heard this before. I'm sure some of this is self-explanatory, but it really bears repeating. And you don't have to believe me. Go try it for yourself. Okay? Let's talk about a few objections. Because as I said, I've gotten raked over the coals for saying these things. People also think it's weird that I am a young, straight man who is not religious, who is not an Orthodox rabbi with a long white beard sitting on a chair in Israel telling people, you know, I'm a regular dude. I've been through it. I've made the mistakes. I've had many relationships, right? So I hope that bringing this perspective from somebody who's the same as everybody in this room, not like I'm coming down from on high, you know, will touch your hearts. But anyway, I've gotten a lot of objections to all these things. The first most common objection, I'm sure someone can already predict this, is I need to test it out. Why would I come? Shana's like, yeah, I mean. She's like, duh. No, I'm just kidding. I need to test it out. Why am I going to commit to somebody if I don't know that we are physically compatible? What I always tell people, what I've seen over and over again, is that if you are emotionally compatible with someone, if you have amazing connection, if you care about their mind and their heart, if your values are the same, if you like spending time with each other, then there is a 98.5% chance that you are going to be physically compatible. I have seen 1.5% of the time that people, everything is lined up. They love each other. They have an amazing connection. They respect each other. They want to get to know each other. They like spending time with each other. But in the bedroom, they're like totally, you know, they have no chemistry. It doesn't work. That doesn't happen. If everything else is there, there is a 98% likelihood that the physical connection will be there as well. Furthermore, when you wait, then you're building up tension, right? When you reach the pinnacle after 3 dates or 3 weeks or however long, there's nothing to build up to, right? You got as close to that person as you can possibly be on a physical level. Whereas when you wait, the tension is building, the anticipation is building, the excitement is building. And you're building all of the other factors, the communication, the trust, the emotional connection, that absolutely bolster the physical connection in the intimacy part of it. Does that make sense? That's objection number one. I'm a little warm, so I'm just going to... Oh, yeah.
We need the mic. We need the mic.
Thank you, bro. Taking off my clothes is appropriate for the... Actually, don't take off your clothes.
You want to take one more layer?
Yeah, sure.
No problem. I'll take a cup.
Yeah, I'm gonna unbutton this button for Brian.
Yeah.
So he feels like this whole talk was worthwhile. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so here's the second objection, and this is the one that really just like grinds my gears. I have needs. It's two adults consenting. What's the big deal? Robin, why the head shake?
Can't you fulfill your needs in a different way?
Oh, there we go.
I just feel like everybody says that.
Everyone says that. My clients say that. My friends say that. It's something I used to say when I was young and ignorant. But just last week, actually on Sunday, I work on Sundays. I had a client, I was sitting with her, we were talking, she wants to get married, she wants a date seriously. She has been going out with somebody for a couple of weeks, she's been on four dates, we were talking about this very thing, you know, we've been talking about this, why it's a good idea to wait, all this stuff. And she slept with him on Saturday night, it was the fourth date, it was very quick. And I was talking to her about it on Sunday morning during our session, and she was like, you know, ideally I would have liked to wait, but it's like I'm really attracted to him, and like I have needs, like it's hard. And she said, you know when you're on a diet, but like once in a while you need a cheat meal, like you need a cheeseburger, right? She's like, and I had to stop her right there. I was like, whoa, sex is not a cheeseburger. You know, these are two like completely different things. It's exactly. It's a double-double animal style. And I actually think I'm going to like write an article called Sex is Not a Cheeseburger. So I think that'll turn a lot of heads. But, you know, it's not like you've been on a diet for a while and now you need like a piece of chocolate cake or a cheeseburger. As I said earlier, it's the closest that you can possibly be physically, spiritually, and emotionally to another human being. And I know that we have needs. Human beings are sexual creatures, and that's a great part of our human nature. But the person who is a slave to their physical needs is not really free. One of the most virtuous things you can ever do in your life is develop the discipline muscle, develop the ability to tolerate discomfort, develop the ability to restrict and restrain, so that you get to decide when you are choosing to engage in whatever decision you're making, and that it's a truly intentional decision rather than being a slave to your physical needs. So the second objection, which is I have needs, I understand, I do too, everybody else does, but that doesn't mean that you fulfill those needs whenever you feel like it. And the third objection that I hear most commonly, I was going through a list of all the objections. I wrote out like 15 of them, but I kind of trying to synthesize them into three categories, is, well, I have a friend. Does anyone know what this one is? I have a friend who slept with their partner on the first night, and now they're married and they have three kids. Mazel tov. I have a friend too. If you knew that the odds of winning the Powerball lottery were 1 in 292 million, you probably wouldn't assume that you're going to be the one. So in 99% of cases, if you take 100 people and you put them in a room, one or two of those people slept with their partner on the first date, and it led to marriage and kids and house and beautiful everything. The other 98 or 99 of them who slept with their partner on the first date probably never saw the person again or dated for a couple of months and then it fizzled out. That's just the reality, right? So I know that everybody has that one friend who it worked out for, but you have to assume that you are not going to be part of that tiny, tiny minority. Because what I'm telling you, I see in my practice all day long, is that when people get physical too soon, it spells out the death of an otherwise very promising would-be relationship. And it reduces the chances of that relationship actually being sustainable. So the next time you're dating somebody seriously, ask yourself these questions. How do I want to present myself? Do I want to present myself as somebody who has very high standards for themselves and doesn't give themselves away? Or am I just in it for the instant gratification? Right? And why did I come? Did I come for the physical, or did I come for something to really last for a long time? You can say you came for both, of course, but the emotional intimacy has to precede the physical intimacy in order for that relationship to be established, right? The last thing that I'll say is everybody has high standards up here, right? Nobody in this room is thinking, oh, I have low standards for myself. I accept whatever comes and I sleep with whoever I want because I have low standards. But the standards that we have up here are not worth very much. It is your standards of behavior. It is how you act. It's not the way that you present yourself to the world. It is how consistent you are with that presentation. So the truth is, you know, people say like on Instagram and self-help books, know your worth, right? You deserve the best. You should know your value. You should know your worth. No, you shouldn't. You should show your worth. The way you know your worth is by how you show your worth. Because what you know up here or what you think about yourself up here is not worth very much if your actions are totally incongruous with that because you get caught up in the moment or because someone is paying you attention and whatever, right? There is a huge difference between being desired and being respected. Somebody will give you compliments. It doesn't mean that they want to support you and they believe in you for the long term, right? Because when it comes down to it, the ultimate test of how serious someone is about you is their willingness to commit. And I can tell you that if somebody is truly serious about you, they will wait. If somebody really wants to commit to you, and you say, I would like to wait to get physical, and they are really in it for the right reasons, they will wait. And if they don't, then that's how you know that you guys have different values and are on totally different wavelengths. All right, let's open it up to questions. Thank you. The questions are always the best part, so don't hold anything back. Farnaz.
Do you think people nowadays actually respect people who like wait to get physical, like don't get physical, or they'll judge them saying like, okay, you're not mature enough, that's why you're not getting physical, or you're too crude, that's why you're not going to get physical. Do you actually respect the people for it?
Well, I think it depends on what a person values. So, again, you know, I'm talking about what bodes well for the success of the relationship. But if somebody really values getting physical and having their needs met, then yes, they're going to see you as puritanical. They're going to say that you're being prude. They're going to say that you're inexperienced. But that's their value set, right? And yours is different. So if that's what the conversation that you're having, then that's how you know that, you know, you guys aren't a match. If assuming you're waiting, right? Assuming you're a person who doesn't like to rush into physical intimacy, you're doing that for a reason, right? And if there are people here who used to get physical quickly, the way that I used to, I would encourage you to adopt a new value set, right? I used to get physical quickly. Now I've adopted a completely new value set and I wait and I don't sleep around and stuff like that, right? And now when I see that somebody wants to get physical quickly, I don't judge them, right? But I know that we're on different pages. The simple answer to your question is that if it's a person who has the same values as you, they will respect you 10 times more. If it's a person who has completely different values when it comes to intimacy, then yes, they might judge you or they think that you're weird, right? But really quickly, you used a very important word, which is experience. Okay, this was one of the objections that I was thinking about covering, but I didn't want to like talk for too long. People say, I need someone who's experienced. Because if they don't have experience, they don't know what they want, then they're going to be using me as their guinea pig, and then blah, 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 whatever. That whole thing is a total myth. People who have more than 10 sexual partners before they get married have the highest likelihood of divorce. People who had only one sexual partner before they got married, or that's the person who they married, their first sexual partner, have the lowest chance of divorce. So the thing that you need to be experienced in order to have a long-lasting relationship is just not true. It's just statistically not true, right? But again, it's this thing that everybody in our society values experience and thinks that it's important for somebody to have had 3, 4, 5 relationships, 10, 15 partners, whatever, to figure out, you know, what they like. But you can figure that out together. All you need is a supportive, communicative partner and a good connection and the same values. And, you know, if you have all of that stuff, then you're not going to be looking elsewhere, right? The problem in the relationship is rarely a sexual problem. It's usually some other problem. There's a problem in the communication. There's a problem in attention. There's a problem in trust or whatever, and then the intimacy problems are a symptom of deeper problems. Any other questions?
Yeah, when you say get physical, like you mean all the way. Like...
Oh, this is such a good question. Okay, so I get in trouble for I get in a lot of trouble for saying this too. Again, I can't regulate what you do with a partner. I don't judge you for what you do with a partner. But the truth is that first base, second base, third, it's all the same shit. Excuse my language. It's all the same. People will say, and again, excuse my crudeness, you know, we did oral, but we didn't have penetrative sex. It's the same thing. You know, and people object to this a lot because, sorry, Rabbi Jack. You can cut this out of the video. You know, I don't know how else to say it in a professional way, but if you're waiting to get physical, wait to get physical, right? Keep your clothes on, because otherwise you're just parsing words, right? It's just a semantic difference. That's my view. What else? Tell us, man.
Should I go?
Would you like to?
Oh, no, go.
Oh, no, no, no. I thought you had a great question.
No, no, no. We need you.
Where are you going, Rabbi? You got to stay for my question.
No, I didn't want to embarrass you.
No, first of all.
No, I just want to be respectful.
No, first of all. No, no, no. First of all, your level of speech is amazing. This is one of the best speeches I've heard.
Thank you.
I've been hearing recently a lot of people speak, a lot of people give speeches, but the way you hold yourself, your confidence.
Thank you so much.
Your knowledge altogether came to be one of the best speeches I've heard in a very long time.
Amazing. Thank you.
Say about all the other people.
Everyone. Nah. A lot of information. So you know, I'm a believer of waiting. Do I abide by it? Not all the time, you know.
Sure.
But also being not physical with someone can also somehow lead to like friend zoning. So like, besides getting physical, do you recommend maybe like some little flirting on the side? Or, you know, just like you attach with them in an emotional connection, but by not touching, like holding hands, you know? But like, when you don't kiss them after a certain amount of time, it's like, okay, are we just friends? You
know, yeah. So. Yeah, so, you know, in the religious community, they usually abide by Shomer Nagia, which is no touching at all.
Right.
You know, that's not something that I engage in. You know, the way that I typically do it is holding hands and hugging and, you know, maybe kissing and stuff like that. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that you should do that or you shouldn't be Shomer Nagia or whatever. I mean, you do whatever works for you. But I think typically two people know the difference between whether it's a platonic connection or whether there's something romantic there, you know? You're right that if you don't kiss them for a certain amount of time, you know, they might get the friend zone vibe or whatever, but people who are Shomer Nagia, they don't kiss for a year. Right. Then they get engaged. Right. They're still, you know, romantically into each other. So it's really a matter of communication.
Right.
You know, you don't have to send subtle signs if you communicate with the person.
Right.
If you say, I like you, I'm attracted to you, I want to be with you, but I don't like to get physical,
yeah.
Where's the confusion?
Right.
People are just afraid to be blunt.
No, really. You can play the waiting game as long as it takes, you know. But like, what are we talking about? Like,
yes.
Marriage or like, you know? I mean,
amazing question. Amazing question.
Depends on the situation and what you're really going for.
Marriage.
Like, what's the marriage?
Amazing question.
Yeah.
So, if you're Brian, you wait until the first drink has been consumed. Gotta be.
We all know not to go.
Yeah. But I don't have that ability. I can't give her one drink, and then, you know, Brian has that ability. So, okay. For this question, I'm gonna do my best to make Rabbi Jack happy and hopefully make all of us happy and everybody in between. This is truly what I believe. I think that the ideal is to wait till marriage. That is the ideal. I recognize that I recognize that in the modern society, we're a bunch of young people, we're in Los Angeles, it's not always possible. You know, it's kind of an outdated practice. But what I do think is completely possible is to wait until a commitment has been spelled out. Most of my clients are not religious. Most of my clients, the 93 people who I told you I've helped them get married, engaged, or in a good relationship, I would say 80% of them are people who a month before they came to see me were sleeping around left, right, and center, right? So it is completely possible for every person, even if you're not religious, to abide by at least this benchmark, which is you wait until you decide you're exclusive or you decide you are in a committed relationship. In my experience, the shortest amount of time is a month. Usually that happens around the 2 to 3 month mark. Ideally, if you can, you will wait longer. And ideally, you would wait until marriage. Here's the problem with the giving people a timeline thing. People fool themselves. After 2 weeks of going to coffee and texting, they're like, oh, we're committed. Right? So they use that as a way to just get physical. No, man, commitment takes time to establish. So you can't fool yourself. And this is why, to Shayna's question, the thing of like, oh, we did X, Y, and Z things, but we didn't go all the way, it's also fooling yourself, right? So you got to kind of keep yourself honest.
Great.
Tomer.
This kind of goes to the fooling yourself concept of, you were talking a lot about an emotional connection.
Mm.
How do you know that an emotional connection is actually that, or if it's you fooling yourself?
Mm. What do you usually consider an emotional connection, and what do you consider fooling yourself?
That's a great question.
Okay. So, I think you are fooling yourself if you find yourself putting the other person on a pedestal prematurely. I think you're fooling yourself if you are making rationalizations and justifications for objectionable behavior, things they do and say that you don't like, but you really want the relationship to work out, so you're justifying those things, even though they don't feel good to you. I think you're fooling yourself if, at the very beginning of the relationship, you have a very high level of anxiety, but you're telling yourself that that's normal, it's just because I really like them, all that stuff. So having a strong emotional connection with them is basically the opposite of those things. If you feel safe with them, you're building an emotional connection. If you feel that you can be vulnerable and open and that that will be well received, you're building the emotional connection. If you are saying things to them that you would typically keep to yourself or you wouldn't say to maybe the person sitting next to you, then you're establishing that emotional connection. But, you know, the number one way that I measure a feeling of building that connection is safety. It's comfort. Are you anxiously looking at your phone waiting for the next text? Are you trying to be something that you're not? Are you telling yourself you have to do this or that in order to get their attention? Those are signs that things are not actually going the right way, but you really want it to, so you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. But when you feel that the relationship is flowing, things are coming to you, you are reciprocating, and maybe you have a little nervousness or a little bit of excitement, but it's not anxiety, then I think that emotional connection is starting to build. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, you hit it on the head.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Robin.
What do you say for somebody who might have limited or no physical intimacy previously in any relationship, but they are considering getting in a relationship with somebody who's had a lot of it?
Number one, communicate. Be honest. Number two, make sure that you both feel comfortable with that. I have been in the situation where I've had experience and I've been with somebody who hasn't had experience. And it was one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had. We waited a long time to make sure that the other person felt safe and comfortable. We went at her pace, and it was a very beautiful way to share something that is very special, right? If you're experiencing something, first of all, if one person is experienced and the other one is not, both of you are experiencing it for the first time because it takes two people, right? If both people are super experienced, you're not experiencing anything new, right? It's at a certain point, if you've had a lot of physical intimacy, it loses the novelty of it, right? So it's a really beautiful thing if you don't have a lot of experience and you're with somebody who you trust, who you can communicate with, and who feels comfortable with that. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who will say, "Oh, if you're not experienced, I don't want to go there. I don't want to touch that." You know, I don't mean that physically, but you know, I that's something that I'm not interested. But then, that's a good sign that you shouldn't engage with that person. Fair enough.
You mentioned that being physical, like when it comes to kissing or even going further than that, that's all the same and doesn't really make a difference. So what if you're dating someone for a long period?
I don't think kissing is the same as everything else.
Okay.
But,
just like,
yeah.
So if you're dating someone for a long period, and don't you think it's better to like give them some sort of physical intimacy rather than not, if you're not getting married yet, to show that, yes, I'm really into this, what we have here, and I want to like move forward, or...
I think if a commitment has been established, then yeah, it's okay. But this, you know, people tend to do that way too soon. They do it well before a commitment has been established. They do it on the third date, fourth date, you know, whatever. And again, the ideal is that you wait till marriage and you guys are both on that same page. But I recognize that the ideal in our modern society, especially in the secular world, is not common. But I don't see why in the secular world, waiting until a commitment has been established and you know you're in a relationship that, God willing, will lead to marriage, that's completely possible.
So you would say that you're talking about more sexual intimacy rather than physical intimacy. So I hear you a lot of times say physical intimacy, but you really mean, I think, sexual, correct?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good that's a good distinction.
I think what you talked about was emotional intimacy and waiting for that.
Yes. You know, you meet, then you establish the emotional connection, and then the physical connection comes, and then the sexual connection comes, right? Ben.
So you keep saying the word commitment. So my question is like, what's your definition of commitment? Like, oh, like we're exclusive, oh, we're like boyfriend and girlfriend, or like, oh, we're gonna, like, I definitely like want to propose, I want to do this. Like, what's your, like, how do you know, or like, what's your, that's what I'm curious about.
There are multiple
word commitments. So I'm just curious what.
There are multiple levels of commitment. To me, the ultimate one is marriage. A level below that is engagement. A level below that is having been in a relationship that you know is leading to engagement. A level below that is you are boyfriend and girlfriend. And the lowest level is you're dating exclusively, right? You're not dating any other people. So I leave this open-ended because it wouldn't be appropriate for me to say, unless you're engaged, do not get sexual, right? Nobody's going to listen to that, right? We have to be adaptable and meet people where they are, because everybody has different values around this stuff, right? But commitment is the umbrella term for one of those levels, right? The ideal commitment is that you wait until marriage, but at the very, very least, you should wait a few months until you guys are exclusive or you've decided let's be in a relationship. Come on. It's a stupid title. In all honesty, it is a label that gives commitment phobes comfort. That's the truth. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying that too. But.
So wait, so now we have to clarify if someone says they want to be exclusive, you have to say boyfriend, girlfriend?
I mean, to me, if you are deciding that you don't want to date anybody else and you're seeing somebody a few times a week and you're texting and FaceTiming every day, they're your girlfriend or your boyfriend, right? But that title freaks people out. So they like to date and then be exclusive and then put on the label, because they think that somehow if the label wasn't there, then if they break up, they won't be as sad or something like that. So it's like a semantic difference, but again, I'm trying to like accommodate all levels of.
No, I appreciate it. I just heard a lot of other people also refer to it that way, so I was trying to get a little bit clearer.
Yeah. Someone else raised their hand. Oh, yes, Gabrielle.
You know everyone's name. I don't know how you do it. why do you think this is an issue? And from your experience, do you see it being more of an issue? Is it getting, are you getting more clients? Or yeah.
Why do I see?
Like, why do you see this? Why is this an issue in society? And do you, is it getting better? Why do you think it is the way it is?
Because as the decades have gone on, our society has become more and more hypersexualized. We objectify each other more and more. We are getting farther and farther away from monogamous relationships. The divorce rate is climbing steadily decade after decade. So if all of that stuff is happening, then you have to look. I mean, the rates of cheating are increasing. People are having fewer children. People are getting married much later in life. So there's a confluence of factors that contribute, and there are many different reasons, but you know, for the purposes of this topic and this subject, I just see so often that a relationship might have worked out. It could have worked out. But when people rush into this, it complicates things and throws a whole wrench into the plan. But I think, you know, there are a lot of different reasons and chiefly our society values sex and the physical more today than we ever have. So it's, you know, just become popular in the cultural lexicon to get physical sooner than people ever used to, right? And sit down with your grandmother. This is a funny exercise. Sit down with your grandmother. Get a room full of bubbies. Ask them how many of them, you know, used to get around. You know, all of them will say they don't. And like all of them have been married for 63 years. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to like put two and two together. And they have like 10 grandchildren, you know. But again, it depends what you value in life. If you value marriage, kids, your progeny, and creating, you know, a beautiful, sacred Jewish home, then this is something that really applies to you. If you don't value that, if you value hedonism, if you value instant gratification, if you value wanderlust, kind of living your best life and YOLO and traveling the world and all of this kind of stuff, then this won't apply to you. Question, Rabbi Jack?
Yeah, I wrote down a bunch of things here. Do you mind me saying?
Please.
So you obviously know I am the rabbi who has a very Jewish perspective. And of course we believe there's a reason why marriage is a religious concept. From a religious perspective, we need marriage. It's not for religion. I mean, you just get two people to go together, live together, sleep together, and that's it. The idea of marriage, of being completely committed to each other, is a religious institution. And that's something that needs to be understood. But outside of that, we are seeing a suffering culture. People that are really desperate, they don't know how to communicate in the right way. And I think it's all to do with the physicality, the pornography that people are exposed to, visions that people see today, and I'm saying this, I've spoken to people who are suffering from this, and like in one day they can see 1,000 different relationships. It's ridiculous. So what do you think that does to the man? What do you think that does to a person? Not only when you're with someone, but even in your own space. How are you alone? Is it also a big aspect of it? And I think all of this stuff of objectifying, physicality, straight at the beginning, is the key to why people don't get married.
Mm-hmm.
It's that because it's comfortable. It's not even. It's not even. We think it's comfortable, but it's like, okay, I've got this, so let's just keep doing this for a while longer. There's nothing that's pushing me.
It makes people complacent.
It makes me complacent. Although the rabbis say that when it comes to sexuality, the more you starve it, the more full you are.
Mm.
And the more you feed it, the more hungry you become.
Mm-hmm.
This theory that, oh, all these predators and these evil sexual predators, if they're exposed to more pornography, it's going to be better for them. If they're exposed, then we'll have, you know, they'll have some way to get out, to let out their frustration. But it's not true. It actually only makes it worse. And we've seen that. So I just think that physicality and pornography is a big part of it, especially with guys. But as a whole, it's a recipe to not pushing yourself to get married. And it holds you from reaching out in the right way, from communicating with the next person in the right way. You can't even look at a person in their face because you just see physicality. You see them without their clothes on. Like, hello, can you talk to me? But you're just seeing stuff. You're seeing legs, meat. You're seeing markets. It's not people anymore. So, you know, I'm charged by it because it's so... I see such... I also do what you do, really, on a different scale. But, you know, in my own way, I'm literally meeting with many, many people, both married and not yet married. And prior to the marriage, I'm marrying them off. And this is the issue. There's guys that are trying to come here and, you know, we try and get them involved from a younger age to get involved. And they wait till they're like 40 and they realize this is not working for me. Oh, let me see if I can follow the Jewish system a little bit more. And it's never too late. But we're seeing this pain. And I think it's all to do with the objectification, even with outside the relationship, that's causing us to not see people in the right way and not communicate in the right way. And that's holding us back. Another point I wrote down here, which is basically what you said, but promiscuity is not right for men also.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that it's not as bad for a man as it is for a woman is so wrong. It destroys everyone. So promiscuity is bad for everyone. I've seen it. I've seen people that are just so confused. You know, the people that are suffering in the streets right now, the homeless people and all the confusion, the mental health issues that's going on, it's all mental health for the most part. And that's, we're living in an affluent country, like at least it was, you know. We're living in a place where people have everything, money. There's a lot going on. Like, if you want money, there is. If you want a job, there is. It's not, like, okay, yes, there are issues, there are times where people are having a hard, but for the most part, our problem is shedding ourselves from boundaries, shedding ourselves from this idea of any kind of traditional thought, which is, no, I'm not going to just feel like I want something and therefore that's the right thing to do and I'll sleep with this person just to get experience. This is wrong. It's not right. And I also wrote down like this, would you let your daughter do it?
Mm.
Would you want your daughter to sleep around? Be the sellotape, you know, the tape. You stick it in one place, take it off. You put it in another place, take it off, take it off. What happens to the tape eventually?
It wears out.
It doesn't stick. That's what you want your daughter. To each person you sleep with, you stick to it. According to Jewish teaching, you stay with them in this world and the next world also. And there's a whole discussion behind it. But that's someone you stick with. And if you stick with many people, because like you said, it's the highest level, would you want your daughter to do it? Why would we live a life that we would never want our kids to live? I would never want my daughter to be in a sorority. So then why would you hang out there? Or why would, you know, it's... The mindset should be, if I don't want my kids to be that, why would I do it? Never hold yourself. And another thing that you were saying, Monica, about boyfriend, girlfriend, there's two big problems with boyfriend, girlfriend. One, it has public pressure, which is unhealthy, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, and it's stupid, like you said. It's really stupid, because it causes everyone to decide for you that you should be continuing, and you should, and you don't have the clarity, the ability to think on your own. It's just so unhealthy. The second thing is, you start treating each other like a marriage before marriage.
Mm.
Oh, why didn't you talk to me? Why didn't you message me? Are we married? Let's first actually find out if we're compatible to each other, not to be married. So the notion that boyfriend, girlfriend is going to help me, it's actually just the title where we now can hold our hands. I can go back to my parents once in a while. You go back to your parents. When we want to have time together, we will. When we don't, we won't. It's, you know, it's like a friend just for sexuality. I forgot what that's called. So
friends with benefits.
Friends with benefits. that's literally what BFGF is. That's what it is. Anyway, that's basically
thank you so much.
Some of the thoughts that I and I have so much more, but
oh please,
from a Jewish perspective. From a Jewish perspective. Oh, another thing.
Yes.
No one will listen to me. Everyone will walk around and was saying it's stupid. He's a fanatic. He's crazy. But when we say sex, we also mean touching as well. No physicality at all. It's like giving for a guy. It's like putting a carrot in front of the rabbit. Here, ding, 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 ding. What's the carrot? What's the rabbit gonna do?
I'm getting the carrot.
And he's getting used. And by the way, a girl that says to me, and not to me, to Shira, that I've never been with anyone. What about the guy that I'm dating who's been with 10, 15 other girls? Right? Other girls. You know what? You deserve someone better.
Yeah.
You deserve someone better. Someone who just goes around and sleeps around every time. Who says he's not going to use you again? You're not going to be the next one that he's going to use. Hmm. I'm sorry, but that's what's going to happen. Do you know what? 15 times he's been trying out with other women. You're another trial. And he's going to tell you, no, flowers, and cute, and thing, but it's all for one thing, which is to get to business. He's not holding hands just to show that he likes you. He's holding hands to get to business. So you know what? Avoid the physicality, and then you know for sure that either he's in it for real, and he's not going to use me, or he's not. Shalom. Goodbye.
Yeah, this
you know, there's no in between.
Yeah, this is something that actually, there was a conversation that we had on the spaceship, and, you know, with some of the people, and one of the girls asked, really, so how do I know if the guy's really into me? Because that's what this world is about, you know? Like,
you wait.
I don't know if I'm not the next try. So I said, you know what? I said, just for the fun of it, she doesn't keep showing a gear. She's not like, you know, to that level. But I said, you know what? If you really have a question about this specific guy that we're talking about, tell him that you are. Let's see where it's going. And then tell me in a week if he's really like into you. So we don't know yet, but I'm just saying the idea. So he will realize, oh, I'm not getting anything right now. Mm-hmm. This girl is serious, you know? So
exactly.
It's either I'm going for it because I'm really into her, or I'm going to go for someone else.
Yes. The reason that I met Rabbi Jack is that I dated a girl. I went on 3 dates with her. From date number one, I didn't know she was Shomer Nagia. From date number one, I went to hug her. She was like, oh, I don't touch men. From the minute she said that, it increased my attraction to her times 1,000. We were walking on South Beverly Drive one night at like 10 p.m. It was the third date. I was dying to hug her, but I needed to be respectful, right? She's now a friend, and she actually introduced me to Rabbi Jack and Shira. She's the whole reason I'm sitting here. You know, we didn't continue dating, but it was like that was one of the most attracted I've almost ever been to a woman, and she knew right away that I was serious and I wanted to keep going out with her. So you're 100% correct. And I just, one second, Roman. I just want to echo two things that Rabbi Jack said because they bear repeating. So first of all, go around to your friends, male or female, and ask them if they get physical quickly, if that's what they tend to do. Do you tend to wait or do you tend to get physical fairly soon? And then ask them, how is that working out for you? Right? Most of the time, they will tell you, well, it's not, because they haven't gotten into a relationship or they've had a bunch of relationships that have fizzled out, right? So again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see this correlation. The other thing that I want to echo is that whenever I say these things, people online and whatever, you know, they get mad at me and they feel attacked and, you know, they feel like I'm calling them out or whatever. But the truth is that I'm the one sitting in the room watching people cry. I have men who are getting physical telling me, I don't actually want to do this. I just want to find my wife. and we slept together on the first date or the third date or whatever, and like now I'm not that into it, so the guys don't want this. And I have women telling me, I didn't want to do this, I just felt like I needed to keep him around, which is totally misguided. And Rabbi Jack, you're completely right when you say that there is so much pain that stems from this, and that the promiscuity is horrible on an emotional level for both the men and the women. So anybody who, you know, feels attacked, or they jump down my throat, or they say, you don't know what you're talking about, or whatever, people pay me a lot of money to come sit in front of me and cry their eyes out. They're in pain, especially when they're 39. You know, we're all pretty young here, and, you know, we think we got a lot of time and stuff like that, but it's really hard as you get older, right? So this is not about judging anyone, God forbid. This is about trying to give all of us, myself included, because I'm also single and looking. I'm the same as everybody here, or most people. I don't know if you're in a relationship. This is about giving all of us the best possible chance of success. Robin.
So kind of open to you, Rabbi Jack and Shira, because it ties to a little bit of what you've all said. But like, I constantly hear from like a lot of my guy friends, like, oh, we love the chase. We love the chase. We want the chase. So like, if somebody is like, let's say being shown a negia, or trying to like withhold any form of physicality to see if someone is really committed or not, how do you know someone is trying just like for the chase, for the challenge of trying to be physical with you by any means necessary, or if they're actually interested in getting to know you?
Great question.
Anyone.
The answer is you can't. If they're going to be physical with you, they have a body. We all know, have you ever seen have you ever been to a farm? Like, you see how cows and donkeys work? It's like, we're human beings. Like, we're animals. We're physical animals.
We are.
And we want, that's what physical animals want. Like, they want to just get to business. Like, that's how people are. So, the answer is, if they're being physical with you right from the beginning, you don't know. And you can't know. Maybe it's the animal part of them. Maybe they are thinking that they want to eventually take this to marriage, but you don't know, and you're going to be the culprit, you're going to be the one that's being used, the carpet that's being used for this trial and error. Would you let your daughter do that? No.
So, my perspective on this, I want to slightly alter your statement, which is that they love the chase.
This is from their mouth.
I know. I don't think you believe this, right? First of all, I don't want to speak on behalf of every guy in here, but this is my experience. When a guy gets serious, he no longer loves the chase. He wants someone who is available. I'm not saying like needy or clingy or like someone who, right? He wants someone who's going to reciprocate. Because when you're a 30-year-old man trying to make money and build your life, you don't want to have to chase after someone. You want somebody who's going to meet you on your level and is going to engage with you in a serious relationship. So I think a lot of the thing of like, oh, the guy loves the chase is for guys who are boyish, right? They haven't reached that level of maturity, okay? The second thing is, a guy loves to chase a woman who he knows he can get. It's not guys love chasing women. It's guys love chasing women that they know they can get. And that's a completely different thing. When I went out on the date with that young lady and she told me she was Shomer Negia, there was not a doubt in my mind that I couldn't be with her physically. I knew from minute one she's serious, right? So any chase that I might have gone into that date with was immediately eliminated, right? So that's why it's so important to communicate with somebody, hey, I like you, I want to continue to get to know you, but just so you know, I don't get physical, right? And then that's going to eliminate the chase aspect. Now, unfortunately for you, Robin, it's also going to eliminate a lot of guys who that's what they're after. But wouldn't you rather know that sooner, right?
I was saying, if the person is starting to be physical, and you don't know if that physicality is for the right reasons or not, you can't. And that's what...
It's a risk.
It's a risk, yeah.
Yeah.
Life is a risk.
Yes.
Nathan.
I know Nathan.
Didn't get
I'm sorry.
You didn't get to introduce myself.
Everyone
Nathan, no, I've met you a few times.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, yeah. I remember you. You don't remember me.
What?
But that's okay.
I don't remember a lot of you. Let's be, I'm trying to be fair. Okay, once you've gone physical, right, can you, now, you know, now you're getting more mature as the year goes on. Maybe something you didn't know back then, but now you know. If you don't know, now you know. Can you backtrack from that?
What do you mean? With the person?
Sure. Like, let's say you've gone physical with the person, now you're going to be like, oh, sorry.
Oh. Like, you get physical once or twice, and then you say, let's not do this anymore? It takes discipline of steel. Dude, if you can do that, I really commend you. But it's very hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube. You know? Once you've broken that seal, you're going to tell me that, like, if you're, like, sitting next to your girl watching a movie, you know, and you know that you have already gone there, you guys are really going to be able to restrict yourselves so much. I don't know. Maybe you can. Maybe I'm a weak man, but it would just be very, very hard. So that's why it's, again, I love what you said, how honest you were, where you were like, I agree with the concept. I don't always abide by it. That's a very, very honest and humble thing to say. And the same is true for me. You know, I didn't always abide by it in the past, even though I agreed with it. Now I really try to abide by it, and you know, we're all a work in progress. The beautiful thing about Judaism, I think, Rabbi Jack tells me this all the time, is it's not an all or nothing system. You know, you grow in it, you grow with it, you adopt the principles that you're ready to adopt, and you continue learning so that it grows on you. Tov? Thanks, Nathan. Thank you, bro.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. If anybody wants to talk about this more, you know, call me, text me anytime, any and everything we talk about. If you have a situation going